Rich Kimble here along with Carrie Haskell, and we're joined in studio by Dr. Michael Starks and Dr. Anna Mendoza-Salazar from St. Joseph Healthcare here because it is Thyroid Awareness Month. Thank you so much for coming in and joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick.
Let's start with the biggest question. What does my thyroid do? Well, not just mine, but anybody's.
So I guess I get the question because sure. I'm the endocrinologist, right?
Yes.
Well, it's a small gland and it looks like a butterfly. So it's right in front of your neck, in front of your voice box. And it controls a lot of hormones and that regulate all your energy, heart, muscles, bowel. So it really regulates a lot of systems. So it works too much, you are going to be hyper. If it works too slow, you have symptoms of an underactive thyroid. Those are would be the main, you know, like very small summary.
So obviously it's important. Now, what does an endocrine, let me try that. We'll fix that when this goes on the air, right? What does an endocrine surgeon do?
So an endocrine surgeon is a surgeon who does a lot of surgery on endocrine glands. So primarily thyroid, the parathyroid gland and then adrenal glands. And there's specialized training that can go into learning more about endocrine surgery. And then many people, I started out as a general surgeon, but the majority of my practice has become this. And so higher volume surgeons become endocrine surgeons.
So how common are thyroid problems in America?
Incredibly. So thyroid nodules, the risk of having a thyroid nodule, or the chance of having a thyroid nodule, is about your age in years from a percent standpoint. So a 30-year-old has a 30% chance, a 50-year-old a 50% chance. Obviously, not all of those people need something done about those. And so a big part of the problem is sorting out which are problems and which are not. And so that's why we have endocrinologists.
Yeah, and I understand there are two tests that can be used to determine whether you have nodules.
Well, the office procedure, we have an ultrasound, which is, you know, bedside imaging that will help us to look at the nodules and we risk stratify them. So if we look at them, the image of it gives us an idea if it's like a low risk or if it's a high risk lesion that could be like thyroid cancer. So the main thing is that you want to make sure that any growth on the thyroid is not something concerning like a thyroid cancer.
Now, one of the diagnostic tools that you use is a thyroid scan. What is that exactly?
Well, thyroid scan, people might think that it's an ultrasound, but the scan is actually a nuclear scan. So it gives you information about the activity of the thyroid gland, how active it is. So we don't usually use that for nodules unless the function of the thyroid is abnormal. So if you have an overactive thyroid, the nuclear scan will be very important to tell us how active it is. So we don't usually use a nuclear scan as often as we use an imaging of an ultrasound.
What would be some warning signs for someone that they've got some issues with their thyroid?
So thyroid nodules frequently have very few symptoms unless they're large enough to cause compression of things. And so they can cause difficulty swallowing or difficulty breathing, sometimes hoarseness of your voice, for example. Hyperthyroidism and hypothyroidism, so hormone excess or deficiency, can cause symptoms of being too hot, being too cold, gaining weight, losing weight. So kind of the extremes of, you know, one end of the spectrum or the other. So quite a few symptoms, depending on which way it goes.
When it comes to who's likely to develop thyroid issues, women are far more likely than men. Is that correct?
Yeah, it seems much more common. So if of the 10 patients I see in a day, I mean, if it's, you know, 7, 8 women, maybe only 2 men. So it's much more common.
People always ask when it comes to medical issues about heredity, and it does run in families, but it's a fairly small percentage, right?
That's correct. So of the thyroid cancers that I end up seeing, only about 5% have a familial component. And most of those you kind of have already found some family members. And so you pick those up kind of several at a time sometimes. And so most of the people that come in have a brand new diagnosis that don't have another family member with it.
If someone gets the diagnosis of thyroid cancer, what does that mean for them? What are next steps? What is the prognosis? And is it different for everybody?
So in general, once you see the nodule, we tend to then do a biopsy. So we do a fine needle aspiration. And many times that comes back benign. So 90% of the time, they are benign lesions. So if it comes back to be thyroid cancer, we then evaluate the lateral neck to make sure there's no lymph nodes already, because sometimes you can have metastasis to the neck. which is also not common, but even though you might have the nodule and the lymph nodes, the person has a still a very good risk, prognosis. So we send them to Dr. Starks, who's our excellent high-volume thyroid surgeon, and once that thyroid cancer has been removed, many times that's all the treatment that they need. I follow and decide if they need extra treatment like radiation, radioactive iodine, but many people do well. So the very low mortality, very, very low.
Now, because I hear needles. I had a blood draw this morning, so I'm tough. I can handle it. But is that fine needle aspiration a painful procedure?
So not typically. It certainly is very anxiety provoking because it's in somebody's neck, obviously. But, you know, typically we'll use local anesthetic. And then once that local anesthetic is in, people don't feel very much of it.
And just because you have a nodule doesn't mean it necessarily has to come out.
Exactly. So many times it actually is like a goiter. So a goiter is like the full global enlargement. The thyroid is large, so there's not a nodule. So with the ultrasound, it really helps us to define, is it just one single nodule? Is it multiple nodules? Is it just the thyroid being enlarged? And it depends on what we see on the ultrasound that we decide the next step in management. So you know, Dr. Starks does see a lot of patients, but, you know, we sort of send the ones to him that are surgically, you know, that need surgical evaluation.
So I would also like to just say that in our community, we're very lucky. Through St. Joe's Endocrinology, we have three endocrinologists that between them probably have 50 years of experience, and they work very closely with me. And so we frequently are discussing patients back and forth about what to do. Anna is very humble, and she's not going to tell you, but she has extra training in thyroid ultrasound, and so that brings an expertise that is very welcome in our community. And we also have connections to other places. So we've set up a teleconference that we do with Mass General once a month to review endocrine cases, and so we're kind of staying on the forefront of a lot of what is happening with endocrine surgery and endocrinology.
And we were fortunate because our collaboration with surgery here is very strong, and Dr. Starks has association with the American College of Surgeons. So he has, you know, influence through, they have discussion boards. So when we have very difficult questions, we call Dr. Starks, he's able to put it on a discussion board and reaches maybe 3,000 surgeons, sometimes all over the world. And we get responses to very pressing questions. And I think we have a very, very strong and collaborative team. And I think that makes me very comfortable to be in this area.
And for anybody who might be concerned, genetic testing is also available.
That's correct. So of the fine needle aspiration biopsies that we do, approximately 70% come back benign from the initial review of it with the pathologist here. A portion of them, 5 or 10%, come back as malignant. There's a portion that are indeterminate, and those indeterminate ones we can send out for genetic testing, and that helps stratify them into a greater risk or a lesser risk, and that helps me sort out whether we should just do a remove portion of the gland to sort out if it's more concerning or not, or go straight to a much larger operation.
Are there things that you can do to make sure you have a healthy thyroid?
It's really hard to tell. Obviously, you know, people can look in their necks and see if there's any enlargement, like any mass or any nodule. But sometimes everything looks normal, and sometimes it's only through a blood test that you can determine. But there's really nothing else that you can really know, except if you have a family history.
Right.
Like if you have your parents, and mostly women. So like the woman, her mother, grandmother, cousins, aunts, they have thyroid disease. If they, you know, get evaluated, very, very common, they also have a thyroid disease. So sometimes it goes by symptoms, sometimes it goes by family history. There's really nothing specific.
And frequently your primary doctor will check thyroid hormone level
right
with an annual physical exam.
And then that can be done through a blood test?
Correct.
Right. Great information there. It is Thyroid Awareness Month. Our thanks to Dr. Starks, Dr. Mendoza Salazar from St. Joseph Healthcare. Thank you both so much for coming in, and our thyroids, thank you as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick.
We appreciate you being with us.